sure, other stations promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
Get ready for the most popular morning show anywhere on the internet. You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Mia right here on LA Talk Radio. If you'd like to take part in the show today, give us a call at 323-203-0815. And now your program hosts, Sam and Mia.
Good morning, everyone. It's Thursday, December 5th. And we're back in the studio like as always, except
like
when
always.
We're gone.
Yeah.
Except when we're gone for a week.
Yeah, except for the holidays.
Yeah, I know.
But that's, you know, that's a must.
Yeah. There you go. You know, you take breaks and maybe we'll take a couple more before the end of the year. Why not, right?
Yeah.
Everybody else.
Yeah,
is.
Why not? I know. Christmas, I'll need to...
Yeah, it's such a cool time.
But Hanukkah's started already, hasn't it?
Yeah, Thanksgiving, but it's over already, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That was cool. Why does that feel so early? I felt like Hanukkah's more closer to Christmas time.
Well, it changes because it goes by the Jewish calendar.
Oh.
So the calendars change every year. You see, they're not synced to each other. One is according to the sun, and one considers the sun and the moon.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting.
I know. So, yeah but I mean, during December, who feels like working, you know? It's always like so festive and you just want to be at the mall and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
With all the decorations.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, they had my mall back at home all decorated in Woodfield. Uh-huh. Oh, my goodness. Like, they always do it up pretty big.
Yeah.
Like, crazy things, like, hanging from the ceiling. And then when kids want to go see Santa, like, you know, in most malls, like, the Santa's just, like, sitting there, like, out in the open. But they make it such a huge deal in Woodfield Mall because Santa's, like, inside this, like, frosty, like, kind of, like, snow globe sort of thing. So you can't really see him.
Really?
And there's this long line, and it's, like, this huge hype, like, waiting up to, like, actually, you know, and you don't really get to see him until you're, like, in the room with him. You know?
Yeah.
Like, he's not just, like, chilling out there. It's, like, this big, like, secret, like, cove where Santa hangs out. It's so cute, though. Wow. I mean, I remember doing that. Like, my parents would dress us up all crazy in our foofy, frilly, Christmas outfits. And we'd go take pictures with Santa. But, of course, one of us is always crying. And because he's scary, man.
He is scary.
Santa is a scary dude.
Uh-huh.
Like,
that's true.
And I guess, you know, back in the day, you know, the mall Santas, like, I guess there was one, I don't know, I can't remember, I think my dad was telling me this story, but it was like a full, like, mask. Like, it wasn't just the beard.
Oh, really?
That the mall Santa was wearing.
Scary.
It was like a plastic mask with the, like, I don't know if it's what, like, my grandfather did or something, but I just remember hearing that story and thinking, oh my God, I would like, literally, I would run away. Like, you would have to, like, force me to sit on this creature's lap.
Yeah.
I couldn't imagine.
Yeah, I know. Kids should be spared from being with Santa for too long.
Yeah.
So it's been really cold, right? I mean, we have a beautiful day, but it's just cold.
Yes.
And last night was freezing, man.
Yes. I was literally, I had like a million blankets wrapped around me and I was still like shivering.
Really?
And I was, I had long sleeve PJs on, my super like fuzzy pants and like my super fuzzy socks.
Uh-huh.
Like I was literally like
head
to toe and I had all my covers on. I think I need to, like, it's time for me to put on like my under heater thing, because my bed, like, it's like dual sides for everything. Not that it matters, because I never have anybody sleeping next to me in my bed. It's just me.
Just in case, right?
But I have you know, it's just kind of like cool to like explain and talk about. I have a Sleep Number bed, so it's got like the two different sides.
Okay.
You know, and like right. the like so you have like the air chambers, the uh-huh. little air compartments, and there's controllers. So it's like, okay, so I have that to adjust in my bed. And then also I have a thing that like, it's kind of like a, almost like a pillow top kind of thing, like a mattress pad, uh-huh. but it has little like hot coils running through it. And that also has a remote for either side and you can make it heat up.
Wow.
Yes. It is so amazing. And I think it's time for me to put that on now.
Where the hell did you get that mattress?
It's so freaking cold. I got it last year for Christmas.
Wow, that's cool.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because my apartment, like especially my bedroom, it's so weird. It's like I have like the heater and I have like my little like, you know, like the heater that's like in the apartment.
Right.
But it just like it blasts out into like the living room area.
Right. It's not a
And then
there's
like a whole nother door down a hallway and then my bedroom.
Right.
So there's no heat that goes in that area.
Right. It's that type of a furnace heater, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's so my bedroom is so freaking cold.
Oh, wow.
It's like you just like cross this like threshold and all of a sudden it's like such a like huge like degrees difference in like the cold. It just like drops and it's like, wah, I'm gonna end up like sleeping on my couch in my living room because I have the heater on in there. But no, my my little bed coils definitely keep me warm at night though.
Yeah,
when I'm sleeping.
Cool
Yeah.
So I saw you got those headphones this morning. You got a nice gift.
Oh.
Early gift, huh?
My gosh. I did. It is
what
like
those,
the most amazing. It's the Beats
the
by
Beats,
Dre.
Right? Yeah.
And I mean, of course, I've been wanting Beats for a long time, but I'm like, you know, they're just so expensive and whatever. And I have this thing where I have like, I have like abnormally like tiny ears.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, they're like normal, like in size, but like my little like ear hole, like it's, uh-huh. that sounds weird to say. Ew, whatever.
The
so,
ear canal.
The ear canal. My ear hole. my ear canal uh-huh. is very small.
Okay.
So it's like really hard when I put in like the little, you know, like the little earbuds.
The earphones,
because
yes.
they kind of hurt when they're in. And then also
wow.
they fall out. So when, you know, because I've been going to the gym a lot lately.
Right.
And when I'm on the elliptical, like doing my thing, I feel like they pop out all the time. And every 2 seconds, I'm like sticking them back in my ear. Like it's embarrassing.
Yeah.
You know, like I'll be like in the groove, like do my thing. Like, yeah, like I love this jam. Like I'm rocking out, like bumping to the beat, you know, work it out. And then boom. One falls out and I'm like, okay. Like, it's like an instant, like, adrenaline kill.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, I can't work out like this. And then they were also breaking. Like, the sound would get distorted whenever, like, the thing in the middle would, like, bump against my, like, chest or something.
I see.
And, you know, that's not hard to do. I mean, I have big boobs, so it's like, how do you avoid that? You know, they're just, there's just no getting around it.
No avoiding it, huh? Okay,
no.
So you need wireless headphones.
I was, like, just at my wit's end. And I told my mom, you know, when I was home for Thanksgiving, like, oh, I really want to see if there's any Black Friday deals online for those Beats. But they were just for the regular ones. Like, I really wanted the wireless.
Right.
So I'm like, oh, whatever. And I never mentioned them again. You know, but I'm like, my headphones are broken. I really need these soon, but I want them for Christmas. But yeah, so I go to the gym yesterday and I'm just coming home like so frustrated, like, oh, I hate these headphones. And then all of a sudden, Nikki, you know, my roommate, she's like, and it was kind of late at night. It was probably like, I don't know, 7:30 or something or 8 o'clock when they came. But she's like, she locked the top lock. And I'm like, what'd you do that for? Like, you knew I was coming back home. I was just at the gym. She's like, because I got scared. I'm like, why? She's like, well, a guy came. She's like, it was the UPS guy. But still, I didn't know they worked that late and it scared me. I'm like, okay.
Wow.
She's like, I'm like, all right, well, that's cool. What'd you get? She's like, no, the package is for you.
Oh,
I'm like,
nice. And you
oh.
were like, excited.
And then sure
idea.
Enough, there were my Beats. And I was
wow.
like, I like freaked out. It was really exciting. So I've been listening to them like nonstop.
Good.
They
good.
Hold a battery life of 10 hours and the charging time is 1 hour.
Oh, okay, cool. Well,
yes.
Now that we know that, we're all going to go
so
out and buy
everybody
some.
Go go buy some Beats by Dre because
yeah.
they are super,
and
super
the sound
worth it.
Is good, huh?
It's amazing.
Yeah.
And yeah, and I feel cool. They make me feel so gangster.
Okay.
Anyways.
Cool.
I'm sure, you know, once we get to our guest, she has a lot of knowledge on these types of things, so she'll be able to
yeah.
agree with
yeah.
my liking of this product.
Yeah, that's true. I just and before we get to our guest who's sitting here patiently, I just wanted to bring this up because this is, like, really weird. Amazon announced that probably in a few years they're going to start using drones to deliver packages to your home.
Shut
like,
up.
Within 30 minutes. Can you
really?
Imagine... I mean, it's like, yeah, they're talking about it. And they have a prototype already. They showed it.
Oh, my gosh.
I know.
Do you have to pay, like, extra for that? Like, how does that work?
I'm sure you would, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. That, I mean, that's kind of cool. Oh, my gosh. For sure, like, all stores are going to, like, go out of business. You know, because that's why most people, if they don't buy something online, they get something at the, you know, at the stores. Because it's like, well, I need it right now.
Right. Exactly.
I can't wait, like, a week, you know?
Exactly.
Oh, man.
But, you know, it's pretty weird if we're going to start seeing Amazon drones all over the place. You
know? I know. I wouldn't be surprised if, like, some kids are going to start, like, shooting them down with BB guns or something.
I know.
Like, you spent all this money. It's like, I don't know.
I don't know if they'll allow them.
Super cameras, but.
I don't think this would work.
I think that might be a little hard to do.
Yeah. It's a little too out there, man. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. All right. Well, you invited a special guest to the studio. And we have Adriana in the studio. Welcome to the show.
Hi, guys.
Talk closer to the mic.
Sorry.
There you go. We want to hear you very well. So, well, welcome to the show. How did you guys hear of each other?
Just through PR.
Oh, really?
You got in touch with me. And
oh, you got like PR people.
We got a DJ for you.
Wow.
I'm like, all right, bring her in.
An important person. I don't even have PR people. Wow. How did that come about? How do you get like PR people?
It just came to a point where I was needing someone as like that point of contact for events or media and so forth.
I see.
And I came across this girl who was highly recommended to me. And I spoke to her a couple of times, and we just meshed really well and immediately started collaborating.
Nice, nice. So you're a DJ, right? DJ Adriana, is that what you call yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And how long have you been doing DJing?
I went 100% full-time into DJing, as that being the only thing that I do, about 4 years ago.
4 years. Mm-hmm. Wow. So you're well established by now.
By now, yeah. Like, before that, you know, I played around with it. I popped up here and there, but I was going to college. I got my master's, so my focus was on those type of things.
I see. Okay. Where were you born? Where are you originally from?
New York City.
Oh, really? Wow. We get a lot of New Yorkers.
Oh, she did say that she lived in, what was it, Arlington Heights?
I lived in
right?
Chicago for a little
bit. Yeah. That's
really?
A suburb, like, kind of near mine.
Oh, wow.
Where I grew up. Yeah.
That's why we get along already.
Yeah.
I guess. So, was that, New York City you were born.
Mm-hmm.
And so you grew up there and stuff. Do you have any siblings or anything?
I have one older brother.
Oh, I see. Okay. And what was the childhood like? I mean, did you have cool parents and
everything? Oh, my parents are the best.
Really?
And everyone that meets my parents love them.
Really?
Yeah. Like, my mom becomes friends with my friends. Uh-huh. My dad is one of the smartest people that I know. So talking to him is so interesting. And he can always find something to say about every topic that makes you feel smarter walking away from the conversation.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
What does he do?
He's an architect.
Oh, wow. Wow. And I guess, you know, you haven't gone to for a master's degree. I would imagine that you come from a smart family that demands that you would work hard as well.
My mom always said that there's nothing better that she can give us than education.
Yeah, that's true. And that's important. You know, I mean, it's great when parents realize that, because some parents don't really give a crap, you know.
That's true.
And then their kids just kind of roll through high school and they don't know what they want to do. And then in college, they don't really want to be there. And then they're lost, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, now, what part of New York City did you grow up in? Like Manhattan?
Midtown Manhattan.
Oh, really? Wow. I mean, it's like, I don't know many people that live right actually in the city, you know. I mean, you have people living in Queens
and
Brooklyn
true.
And stuff.
That's true.
Know?
It's very rare that you meet somebody that people are like, oh, New York. And you're like, oh, what part? And it's always like
some different borough.
Somewhere.
Exactly,
like, yeah.
You know. And because you think of Manhattan as just the tall buildings, you know, and offices.
Like a
and
touristy
businesses.
Kind of
Yeah, and
place,
it's all businesses
know?
And offices, mm-hmm. You know. So that was weird. So what? I mean, what kind of childhood do you have? Were you able to play on the street and stuff like that, and place like that?
My childhood was basically just. I mean, I'm so family oriented.
Uh-huh.
Like, I have me, my brother, my dad, and my mom. Right. And all three of them are like my best friends in different ways.
Wow.
We are extremely close. Amazing. So it's just awesome. Like spending time with family, like focusing on education. Mm. I've always kind of been like a nerd.
Right.
And so I love to read books. Like right. even now I like actual books rather than a Kindle or an iPad.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, I did dance lessons, piano lessons. I learned Chinese right. instruments.
Wow.
I played, like, the violin for a while. I play the harp now, you know.
Yeah.
The harp? Shut up. That's awesome.
I have a harp at my house. You can buy it and
take
it out.
Oh, my gosh. Dude, that's so cool.
Yeah.
I always found harps super fascinating.
I didn't know how rare they were until I was sending a picture to my friend of, oh, I have to clean up my shoes. And I had all my shoes in one corner and the harp, like, there also. And I took a picture. I'm like, I don't know. I can't go out anywhere. I have to clean up my house. Yeah. And she was just like, you have a harp? And I was like, oh, oops.
It's one of those big things, right? Yeah, not just a small
like,
harp.
It's like about that, yeah.
Yeah, wow.
It's like a big thing. I mean, you need like two like arms full length extended to like play this thing. Like fingers move in the whole like flow, you know?
I know. Was that the first instrument you learned how to play?
No, the first instrument I think I learned how to play was the piano.
The piano. Mm-hmm. That's usually traditional. Did your... did you show any interest in it or did your parents direct you toward it?
I think it was one of those, you see someone at brunch playing a harp and you think it's like the coolest thing. And you're like, I will learn that eventually. Right. And that's kind of how it fell into.
Right. But I meant the piano in the beginning when you were really young.
My mom put me in piano and ballet, and my brother's really big into sports. So kind of wanting to be cool like him, I played, you know, I would like play track. I think I did like flag football when they allowed girls in it when I was like 10 or 11.
That's awesome.
And my brother would come to like all my games. And then obviously in school, I would play softball, basketball.
So you're pretty active as a child.
I tried to be.
Right. I just try to figure out, you know, when you raise kids in Manhattan, where do they go? You know, if they want to go downstairs and play. Where do they go? You can't just play on the street there, or can you? I guess they do. I've seen it in movies. You know?
I guess it just depends.
Yeah.
I mean, it depends on where you go and what area you're in and where your friends live.
Yeah. It seems like the only place really to play is like the park in Central Park, you know, because it's kind of like nature-y and things like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I always wondered, you know, what do kids in New York City do for fun, you know?
Well, that's probably why I love, like, museums and stuff so much, too.
Yeah.
And, like, my favorite thing to do is walk along skyscrapers, and I like seeing taxis. My favorite color is yellow.
Really? So...
Mine, too. Yeah.
So you like yellow taxis.
Yeah. I always think that's probably why yellow is my favorite color.
Really? Because of the taxis?
Because one of my, like, I notice even when I go back now and I'll be, like, walking on the street and I see, like, that whole line of taxis just waiting for, like, the light to go green.
Uh-huh.
It's, like, one of my favorite sights.
Really? Mm-hmm. Wow. We can send you a couple pictures of that, you know, hanging on the wall. Wow, that's cool. So, so you took piano and then the harp. And
I took piano, then the violin.
Oh, then violin.
And then I had a couple of Chinese instruments in there. And then the harp.
What are Chinese instruments? Like what, for example?
There's one called the zither. It's like a long harp. I guess that might be like how I segued into it.
Right.
And my mom actually learned with me when I was younger.
Oh.
And then there was another one that was kind of like, I don't know, maybe like a pentagon.
Uh-huh.
And you would have two little sticks that had like rubber on the end.
Uh-huh.
And you would hit the...
Like a xylophone. No?
No, because it was, I don't know.
They were like a steel
drum. They
were
like strings.
Kind of?
Well, they were like still strings.
Oh, I see.
You would hit along the strings. They were both string instruments.
I see.
And you would like, depending on how hard you hit or how long you set it for, would be like how the sound would be.
I see. Okay. So you showed interest in music early on.
Mm-hmm. I always had interest in music.
Really? So, I mean, did you like sing and play music and stuff when you were young?
I never really... tried to be like, I mean, I sang like in school, like because I went to Catholic school my whole life.
Oh,
and
did
so
you really?
I would like every week we would go to mass and everything, and I would sing with, you know,
with the choir. And
it was kind of like they would like choose one grade to do every or like one class to do every mass,
right?
And so it would like rotate. And so, like, I would sing when my class at the time would be in charge of the mass.
I see.
And then I kind of just was like every other girl, and I just sing along with whatever I want to hear. Yeah. But over the last couple of years, I've kind of, you know, had like friends and such be like, oh, you should really venture into singing. Like, you have such like a nice tone. And I was like, oh, I don't know. Like, I'm not trying to be Rihanna or anything. Like, I'm cool on all that.
Yeah.
And then recently, the last 2 years or so, I've been working with like a vocal coach. So probably 2014, I'll start putting stuff out.
Oh, really? So you started actually taking up singing and mm-hmm. stuff. That's interesting. So you were playing the harp and stuff. I mean, did kids like look at you funny and stuff? Like, why are you playing this instrument?
It was kind of a personal thing. I never, like, I didn't go and have big, like, recitals or anything.
Okay.
And I didn't, like, I didn't put myself in the middle of a hotel lobby, like, right. to do it. So.
Yeah. But it's fun. I mean, it's, like, such a soothing instrument, you know?
When I talk to my friends and they say, like, oh, what are you doing? And I, like, even when I was younger, oh, what are you doing? And I'm like, oh, I'm just going to, like, probably play my harp a little bit. That, what? Like, so I get that pun. Say, yeah. Like, say that one more time.
Yeah.
You would think I just told them that I reinvented the wheel.
That's true.
It's
huh?
so crazy.
Wow. So then you finished high school. And
I went to high school in Arizona.
Oh, in Arizona. Mm-hmm. How did you get to Arizona? The family?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
my dad's an architect, so Phoenix, they build out as opposed to up. So there's all this opportunity out there.
I see. So he decided to move. And what was the move like for you? Was it difficult to leave all your friends behind and everything?
I was a kid.
Yeah. Well, I know. I was a kid too, but we moved like 3 times before I was 16 years old. And I always felt, you know, I missed my friends and stuff, because that's the most important thing you have as a kid, you mm-hmm. know, is your friends and stuff and your home and all that. So it's kind of weird. So, but the move was pretty easy for you.
I would actually say I've maintained most of my friendships from when I was a kid.
Oh, really?
Like, even if, I mean, obviously we don't necessarily all talk on a daily basis the way right. me and, like, some of my newer found friends do.
Right.
But we do, like, keep in touch, and thank God for, like, Facebook and things like
right.
that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can be like, oh, hey, what's up? Oh, you have, like, 5 kids now. Excellent. Or, like, you know, how are things? Or, I'm coming to New York this time, or I'm coming to New Orleans, or wherever it is that they live.
Right.
But I've managed to, like, maintain those long-distance relationships really well, because my mom's from China and my dad's from Peru.
I see.
And so their families, 95% or more of them, all live
back there,
like,
yeah.
you know, across an ocean.
Right.
And so, you know, a lot of my aunts and uncles didn't live in the same state as us. And,
right.
like, my mom's brother, who was the closest to us, was in Canada.
Oh, okay.
You know what
so
I mean?
You're like
so,
all over.
So I've always traveled a lot, too.
So
yeah.
you go a lot to visit your
yeah.
family? That's
like,
cool.
Now I go to Taipei, where my mom's family is. Like, I just came
the
back
Hello
last
Kitty
week.
Plane goes to Taipei.
Oh, my God.
I want to go so bad.
Wow.
Sam has lost it.
There's a Hello Kitty plane?
There's a whole airline. Yes, it's all Hello Kitty. The plane is painted on the outside Hello Kitty. The inside is Hello Kitty.
You gotta be shitting me. I don't believe that.
Yes. Yes. And it came to LAX for the first time and flew back to Taipei
really?
Like a few months ago. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Like, everybody was sending me pictures. Like, if anybody was, like, at the airport at that time, they were like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Your plane is here. Finally. So that's like my dream, is to take the Hello Kitty plane to Taipei.
To Taipei,
right? Wow. Oh, my God. I didn't even know that.
Yeah, see, we learned something new.
Yeah. Google it.
Pink airplane.
You know what? I'm going back in March. I'll see if I can take it.
Oh, my gosh.
There you go.
I'm so jealous. That's so cool.
Yeah. Yeah, so you do go back there every once in a while to visit.
I go back once or twice a year to Taipei,
really?
And then next year I'll be going to Peru.
Uh huh.
And so, yeah.
So you met most of your family there too?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you have in both places.
Yeah, I met all of my dad's side of the family the first time I went there. That was overwhelming, but it was amazing.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you guys have been to Peru.
I haven't, no.
But like, we got to do, like, every tourist thing, like Machu Picchu and
right.
Cusco, and it was just, it blew my mind away.
Really, it's beautiful, huh?
That's cool.
It is incredible.
Awesome.
And yeah. You don't really think about it when your family's from there. You don't really think about, like, oh, this is, like, one of the wonders of the world. Like, right. I want to go see this. You're just kind of like, oh, like, the family lives there. Like, you know, it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then when you go, you're just like, oh, okay. No. I understand why everyone thinks this is incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah, my friend Marianne was just there, and she was posting pictures on Facebook of her and, like, Machu Picchu and
stuff.
Bananas. And I'm like, ah, oh, that looks so amazing. I want
to
go.
Yeah, it does look very cool. So you moved to Arizona, and did you go to high school there, or were you ready for college at that point?
I went to high school there, and I went to ASU. So I went to high school my 4 years, and then...
What did you major in?
I started with political science,
uh-huh.
and then about halfway through, I decided I wanted to do marketing.
Uh-huh.
And then I found out a lot of my classes, like... worked towards a communications degree.
Okay.
So I actually got all three.
Oh, really?
A bachelor's in all three.
All three.
Oh, wow.
Degrees.
Like,
wow.
I said, I'm kind of a nerd.
So that's a pretty well-known school, right? Is that like the big school in Arizona that everybody wants to go to?
If
then
you
a lot of people talk
state.
About it in Chicago. They're like, oh my gosh, the Arizona. Like, well, a lot of people wanted to go there.
From Chicago, like, the Walter Cronkite School for Journalism is one of the best. And their business school is one of the best.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess it just depends on what you're going to school for.
Right.
Like, there was a time after I graduated that I started working in a hotel as my, like, marketing assistant position.
Right.
And obviously the working hotel, I was like, oh, maybe I want to get my degree in hospitality. Like,
yeah.
you know, mm-hmm. I can never have enough degrees, apparently. And so obviously, like, out of nowhere, I was like, oh, Cornell is, like, the best school for hospitality. So I guess it depends on where you mm-hmm. gear yourself to. You start to, like, recognize what schools are the best for you.
Right.
Yeah.
So you get, like, 3 degrees. I mean, how long does it take to get all of them?
I'm not really sure for this, like, for normal people.
For average people.
I graduated before I was 21.
Wow.
But I overloaded on classes at all times.
Obviously,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I did that too. It's rough. I did like probably like 18 credit hours a semester. I only went for 2 years, but I did it like real quick and got out.
It's not that I necessarily wanted to just knock it out, but I wasn't really trying to be in like the party scene. Like, I didn't really get the college experience that most people my age did.
Right.
Like, I don't think I went to one party when I was in college.
Yep.
I didn't start drinking until I was 21 years old. Like,
me too. High five.
But like, the way I did it was I wanted to travel the world at that point when I was 18. I went to my first semester on campus and I took 18 credit hours, and then I figured out, like, on the schedule of classes and then from the community colleges that were in Arizona, exactly what classes I could take at the community colleges to, like,
transfer.
Meet the requirements in, so I could take 18 credits at every institution.
Oh, God.
And so many things were offered online at the time, and I was like, and I figured out what I needed to take before every other class, so then it got to the point where I would take, you know, one semester completely online with like a total of 36 some credit hours. And then I could come back to Arizona for, you know, the first 3 week summer session and I could take 14 credit hours.
Oh,
and then I could take like the next round of classes and start traveling again. So, yeah.
Wow. Wow. That's amazing. So have you always been this ambitious? I mean, that's a lot to take in 3 years out of high school.
When it comes to something I want, I strongly believe that when there's a will, there's a way.
Yeah. So you really wanted all these three majors? Is that what you're saying?
It wasn't so much that I wanted all three of them. I mean, it was when I first started, I did political science because ASU didn't have a pre-law degree specifically.
Okay.
And so they geared everyone towards liberal arts with political science because that was the closest thing. So that's why I started that. And you know, I love paperwork. I love contracts. Like, whenever I have friends that have, like, paperwork, they'll send it to me and be like, oh, will you look through this, see what you think? I'm like, yeah, like, totally.
Wow.
And then I took a couple business classes just to meet certain requirements, and those were, like, the only ones I could take online at the time.
Yeah.
And I really liked marketing. Uh-huh. And then in marketing, I had to take a couple communications classes, and so then I was like, oh, I like this too. So I would just, like, start taking classes I liked.
Right.
I mean, if I've found an affinity towards like languages. Chances are I would have taken like German, French, Spanish, and Hebrew. Like right. I would have taken everything. But then it came down to, I was always raised, you don't start something you won't finish.
Right.
So then I started everything, might as well finish it.
Yeah, that's
walk
true.
Away with 3 degrees.
Wow. And that's amazing too, because you're an artistic person as well, you know. So you're like functioning both right, left brain, mm-hmm. all cylinders.
I think I get that a lot from my dad, because my dad's an architect, but he's also like a sponge of knowledge.
Yeah.
And I've always watched him be that way. And even when I was younger, it's like, I didn't understand what a word was. Right. He'd be like, oh, go look it up in the dictionary.
Oh, nice.
And I'd be like, okay. So I'd go grab the dictionary and he'd be like, what does it say? And so both my parents taught us really, really young that education is important and it is key. And so regardless of whether I became so ambitious, like, in my education because I, like, you know, I wanted to, like, honor how my parents felt, or because right. it just subliminally became something important to me.
Right.
Either way, like, I've learned to appreciate it more than anything, and I will carry that when I have my own children.
Right. Well, it sounds good, you know. Now, so you finished school there, and then what did you do?
And then, well, while I was in school, like I said, I would travel. Right afterwards, I started, like, you know, doing my internships, like marketing and events and things like that. At the time, 944 Media was really big in Phoenix, and they were in a bunch of different cities. So mm-hmm. I ended up taking an internship with them, and that led to me being able to work on 3 different Super Bowl events. And they would do, like, 4-day-long events. And then I worked in hospitality for a little bit for Starwood Hotels.
Uh-huh.
And at that time, I was like, oh, I want to be the director of marketing for luxury brand in, you know, White Plains, New York, and blah, blah, blah. Like, it's been all over the place.
Yeah.
But then I ended up, like, going back and forth, like, with 944 when they needed help with events.
Okay.
And so the last one that I did was in 2010. I lived in Miami, and I worked on their Super Bowl event. And the way that DJing really broke for me was there was a blizzard from New York to Miami.
Right.
And so, like, some of the people that were supposed to come from New York couldn't get on a plane because they weren't flying them out, like, on that certain day. And that was the first day of the event, because they would do the Super Bowl event Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Okay.
And last minute we needed a DJ to cover, and the manager there, the editor, was like, you know how to DJ, and I've heard you, and you're good, and, you know, let's put you in, like, you know, the smaller venue, because we need to fill it, and I need someone who's, like, we see as, like, 944 able to do it, you know, that
right.
will, like, meet our standards and excel. And I was just like, okay. And so I asked my friend at the time, I'm like, I need a computer with music, like, in the next 2 hours, and I need to do this. And he was just like, okay, like, I got you, like, not a problem. And so he gave me his spare computer, and it was, like, all, like, perfect and ready. And so then I went and I DJed that night, and, you know,
without really planning or anything.
Without planning it.
Right.
Like, I was lucky that like, DJing was such, like, one of those things that, to me, it was just so amazing that I had been practicing and I'd played with it, like, so much in the past, because I had turntables, I had vinyl. So back, you know, almost at that time, you know, six, 7 years before, like, I'd already had everything. So it became, you know, when I'm at home, just like I'm playing my harp, you know, I might be playing with these records because I love the sound of the crackle of the vinyl.
Do you?
And, you know,
she's an old soul, you know, she goes back.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And then it was like, you know, when my friends would be DJing, like, and they would have to go run for, like, a bathroom break or something, like, I would cover for them for, like, you know, maybe 3-4 songs.
Right.
And, you know, like, one time my friend got sick, like, while they were DJing, because they drank a little much, so I covered for them for, like, the last 2 hours of their set. So it was something
wow.
I knew how to do.
Right.
But I never really thought, oh, like, I'm a DJ.
Right.
You know?
Uh-huh.
And then that opportunity came to me. So for 4 days now, because the manager liked me, so for 4 days I ended up being their DJ for that event, and it was a huge event. And I remember, because the manager was like, why haven't I heard of you? Like, da 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 da. And I was just like, oh, you know, like, I'm only in Miami for a short time. But then I thought about it and I'm like, you know what? I was like, I never felt anything like I felt playing for a crowd that night, even though I've done it like, you know, helping out friends here and there or like guest setting and whatever. It just wasn't the same. I don't know what was like so different, but my adrenaline was like on 100,000 trillion.
Wow.
And so amazing. I knew, like, I didn't want to do anything else.
Yeah. Wow.
That's a cool story.
I know. So then it's almost like you throw the whole school out the window and you start playing music, you know. What did your parents think of it?
I don't think my parents loved it at first, but they were always supportive. Always. Okay. Like, my parents came to, like, my first official gig at the pool in Vegas. They came to, like, my first night at my residency at Marquee when it first opened. And, you know, like, my mom would come and, like, hang out with me in the booth and, like,
so
sip
cute.
On a glass of Chardonnay, you know. Or, like, the first time that I played back in Arizona, both my parents came and, like, my friends, the managers, like gave them like this like nice table with like a bottle of wine, and my mom's just like, they don't have to do this, you know. Like, they were so supportive, and my brother was always really supportive. I mean, I couldn't ask for a better like surrounding or family.
That's amazing. It's good to get all
support. Yeah, it's a good feeling. It's a good feeling. I love that. Like, my parents came to everything I did too. Mm. You know, it really gives you that feeling, like, you know, because you want to make them proud. You know, they're your parents, so it's like you're doing what you love to do. But it's like, oh, I hope they're watching. Like, I hope they're liking this right now.
Yeah,
it's a good feeling.
They're just something else. Like, my mom. I mean, she'll be like, oh, like now she'll be like, will you put music on my iPod, like for my car? Like, okay. Or like when I was modeling and I did my first like print editorial for this magazine, like internationally, I got like 2 copies, and my mom actually called the company, like the magazine, and had them send her like 50 copies. So all of a sudden, all her friends had them in, like, in their house, and, you know, I'd be like, oh, weird. Wow. So that's how they are.
So you decided to be a DJ. Now, how do you start getting gigs and stuff?
Well, my thing before, like, I 100% was, like, going to put myself out there as a DJ was, I'm not going to put myself out there until I'm completely ready. So I ended up from being in Miami to going to Vegas, because I decided that I wanted to, if I was going to, you know, go 100% into DJing, there's no more opportunity than there is in Vegas.
Oh,
in
really?
A 2-mile radius. Wow. Because you think about it, there's hotels that have lounges and restaurants, and the malls have DJs in the stores.
Right.
And then you obviously have your nightclubs and your pools.
Right.
Everything's 24
and
hours a day.
And Mia has been to all of them already. More than once.
And I've probably seen you unknowingly.
Wow. So you decided to move to Vegas.
Well, I had lived in Vegas actually right before I was in Miami. Uh-huh. I only lived there for 3 months. And then I moved to Miami for the Super Bowl event, because I had to be there for 4 months before to find venues, like do everything like that,
right. Organize
everything, talent. And then I think... All-Star Weekend was in Texas at the time. So then I went through Texas and then I came back to Vegas.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then, I decided to go to Vegas. And I told myself, I was like, you know, it's a hard profession. And there's so many talented people. And even though I've known DJs, you know, since I was 17 or younger. And, you know, like my friends, like my brother's in radio. And his friend was in, like his best friend when I was growing up was in radio. So I got to like kind of like experience like what that life was about, like from an outsider looking in.
Right.
But I didn't want to go into something until I was 100% that I was going to be successful at it.
Right.
And so I put myself through boot camp where I would be, and I was on vinyl, and one of my best friends on the planet is one of the best DJs that I know, like when it just comes to DJing. And he was just, you know what? Every single day, you're going to do this nonstop until it's perfect for 4 hours. And I'd be like, oh, I don't do this anymore. And then I did that for, it was about anywhere between 6 to 8 hours a day.
Right.
For 6 days a week, about maybe 6 months. And so I just did nothing but that. And then I would like start playing around at my friends' houses, like, you know, sessioning and whatever. And one of my, at one of them, this guy was like, oh, you're such a good DJ. You're like one of the better female DJs I've heard, because you scratch and you're playing on vinyl and this and that and this and that. And, you know, when can I book you? And I was just like, oh, soon, like
whenever.
You know? I'm just like, so then I was like, okay, now this is like becoming a reality. And then I decided, you know what, Labor Day weekend, I'll, you know, because I think this was back in right around Memorial Day weekend. So he asked me to book me Memorial Day weekend. And I was just like, no, like, you know, because I still wanted to be like 110% now.
Right.
And then he was like, 4th of July weekend. I'm like, oh, well, actually, I'm going to be in LA because it's my birthday. And so I was like, but Labor Day weekend, I'm all yours. Like, yeah, whatever you want. Like, so then my first booking, like, officially was Labor Day weekend.
Sounds good. We have a phone call real quick. Calling from Vegas, I think. I can recognize the area code. Maybe it's for you. So maybe we should answer. Good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, Sam. It's Jeanette of What's the Sizzle. I'm calling from Las Vegas.
Oh, Jeanette, how you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm not on the internet, so I don't know what you all were talking about, but I know you're on at this time, and I wanted to call and say hello.
Oh, okay. Well, we thought you were calling regarding the interview that we have, because we have a guest that lived in Vegas, and I saw you have the Vegas area code, so I thought maybe it was for her. So,
oh, my goodness. How kismet is that?
I know. But, Jeanette, we're almost out of time, and we're wrapping up with our guests.
Okay, I understand. I just wanted to call and say hi, and I'll send you an email.
Awesome. And call some other time, and we'll be able to talk.
Okay, yes, because I want to get back on the air.
Okay, sounds good, Jeanette. All right, take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Sam. Bye.
Bye. Jeanette, okay, sorry for the interruption. That was nice. But
that was very nice.
Yeah, usually I don't take calls during interviews, but we were talking about Vegas. I see 702. I said, wait a minute, you know. Aww. You see, I know all the area codes because I used to be a phone operator when I was 20 years old.
And you still remember them all?
I
wow.
still remember many of them. Many of them, yes,
That's
I do.
Funny.
And Vegas is easy because all of Vegas, actually all of Nevada used to be 702. I don't know if it's still
I think
it
still is.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, you see, I'm good.
It's different than Chicago that has like your 773.
Yeah.
And...
yeah.
I remember the 312.
312. That's really good beer, by the way. I enjoy the 312.
Yeah.
Can't find it anywhere else, really. So,
yeah.
Good stuff.
So now, so I was going to ask you, and you kind of answered this, you know, you do the scratching and all that, but... why do people prefer to have a DJ? You know, I mean, you can just have a computer playing the songs back to back. What makes it? What adds to the experience with a DJ?
Well, you can have a computer just play the songs back to back, but your computer is not going to read your crowd,
right?
And so, if you're playing, you know, a certain genre of music, and wherever you are isn't liking it,
right?
Like, there's going to be someone that's going to have to change it, or you're going to have like an unhappy crowd.
So, but how do you know if they don't like it?
You can usually tell by, like, the way people vibe to something. Like, I now know that she loves Minions and Hello Kitty, so if I say anything, she's going to go off the wall about it. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, like, you know, I guess understanding people's, like, actions and their reactions. So I could play, you know, like, the newest Rihanna song, let's say, and chances are most girls are going to go crazy with it.
I see.
Depending on where I am, I could probably play, like, the new Jay-Z song,
uh-huh,
and guys will just be bobbing their head a lot more than they were to the Rihanna song.
I see, okay.
You know what I mean? It's just reading how people just are affected, I guess, by the music. And sometimes, even me, I'll hear a song at the club, and I'll be like, oh my God, I love this song. Like, and I'll start bouncing around just like anyone else, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, the classic, like everyone all of a sudden is like, oh, you know?
Or people will start singing the hook or something. Like I did Hard Rock's Pool every Friday this summer. And, you know, every time I would play some type of rock, you know, all of a sudden, Sweet Caroline, everyone's listening to it. Jump Around, people are jumping around. You're just like, whoa.
Right. Cool. So are you still living in Vegas or are you in LA now?
I still have a place in Vegas, but I also have a place in LA now.
I see. So you live in both places pretty much?
Yeah, because I still play in Vegas, but I also started, you know, doing a lot more in LA and, like I said, focusing on, you know, singing more than I was before. I have a vocal coach out here, and so I see her weekly and then, you know, working in the studio with friends.
Great. So you keep improving yourself and everything. So where can people find you? Where can people see you perform? And do you have a website?
I do have a website. And everywhere that I perform, all my bookings and everything are on there on my calendar. So
okay,
they can go to www.oxadriana.com.
Okay. oxadriana.com. And so you go by DJ Adriana, though, mm-hmm. right? That's cool, you know? I mean, it's... I mean, I've never met a DJ before, you know, and it's very interesting because I always had all these questions, you know, mm-hmm. but that reading the crowd thing convinced me that a DJ is important in the, mm-hmm. in the party. Well, Adriana, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
You're a lot of fun, and everybody go check her out. That, what are some of the venues you play in L.A., like, real quick?
Well, I played at Playhouse not too long ago, and I have a couple bookings that I haven't 100% confirmed yet, okay. so I'm not saying
So we'll find yet. Out on the website.
On the website. But, you know, I travel, like, I'm going to Malaysia in a in 2 weeks. And wow. then Singapore for New Year's.
Really?
And then in so cool. Vegas, my residencies were Tao Lavo, Marquee, Hard Rock, played for Light Group.
Wonderful, wonderful. So now that you have a reputation and credibility, you get more gigs and stuff, right? Mm-hmm. It's easier to do.
It's. I think it's kind of like everything else, too. Word of mouth is always the best.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Okay, well, Adriana, thank you so much again for joining us. All the best to you. Mia, thank you. Enjoy your beats and everything.
I will.
And we'll see everybody
see you tomorrow.
You have been listening to Sam in the Morning with Mia, which airs every Monday through Friday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. If you have a question for the show or if you'd like to inquire about sponsorship opportunities, please send an email along to sam@latalkradio.com. Sam in the Morning with Mia is a production of LA Talk Radio, where we say what we want.